Hi, this is Peter Gethers, author of My Mother's Kitchen. As you know, this month I'm stepping in to host the Clever Cookster podcast. This week, I'm interviewing Gina Homolka, author, photographer, and recipe developer of SkinnyTaste.com, which features delicious, healthy, low-fat, family-friendly recipes. She is also the author of The Skinny Taste Cookbook and Skinny Taste Fast and Slow. And she is also overcoming the same cold that has struck down all of New York and Los Angeles. So thank you, Gina, for heroically appearing on this week's Clever Cookster with me.
It's my pleasure, Peter. Thank you for asking.
Well, I'd like to start with the fact that your books are so wildly successful. You are, I have been told, the biggest selling cookbook author who is not regularly on television.
Wow.
I don't think you've done much, if any, TV, very little publicity or advertising, which means that this incredible success all happened because of your blog. You reached people naturally.
That's correct.
So let's start with that. Why did you start your blog in the first place?
Okay, well, let me start by saying that I grew up in a house that my parents both cooked everything from scratch, and I grew up loving to cook. I cooked with my family. So it was something that I always enjoyed doing. So back in 2008, I was getting married and I was trying to lose weight for my wedding, and I joined Weight Watchers. And going online, looking for recipe ideas, not knowing what to cook on this diet, I was not finding anything that looked appealing to me. Everything was super processed. There were no photos on these websites. There were just recipes that I would not cook for myself or my fiance, who was very picky, and I had a 9-year-old daughter at the time. Now she's 23. So I just basically decided, well, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to have to take recipes that I'm already making and figure out a way to make them lighter. So I started doing this and having my husband, my fiance at the time, and my daughter critique, and they would tell me if it was good, and you know, they would be my recipe testers. And then I decided, you know what? There's nothing out there. There's no blogs out there. I'm going to start a food blog. So it was one of those things that I just like, let me just try to start a food blog. And that's how I started.
So you obviously were not an expert in this, and you kind of learned on the fly. So how did you make it grow? How did you actually get people to start following you?
Yeah, I mean, I had no idea what I was doing, and everything I learned on Google. You could find out how to do anything on online. So it was really a gradual thing. I started it just because I enjoyed doing it, and I wasn't really doing it to make it my career. I had a career. So it just started basically, first I was, you know, constantly sharing recipes and being consistent about a schedule, and I'm not very creative when it comes to recipe names, so I was actually just calling the recipes what they are, which happens to be really good for SEO, which is search engine optimization. So just starting to have a collection of recipes, and people started finding them. And then on Weight Watchers, people started talking about my website on their forums. And that was, I think, one of the biggest ways that I started growing. People were just talking about, you know, my recipes. So people started finding me, and they started cooking the recipes, leaving comments. And when I started getting comments, I was, you know, so excited to, you know, hear that people were making the recipes. And so it just kept me going. And I, you know, social media was one of those things that I really enjoy using social media. I do it all myself. And I always started from the beginning. When Twitter first came out, I joined. When Instagram came out, Vine, anything new that comes out, I'm always on it first. So I think it's just a combination of being persistent about constantly coming up with new recipes. I'm very engaged with my audience. I love to hear their comments. I like to respond to everybody, love to respond on social media. So I think it's just a combination of all of that. And of course, if I started this for the money, I think I would have quit fast, because it was my part-time hobby. I'd come home. I was kind of obsessed with it. I'd come home from work and I would read people's comments, and I would think about, oh, what am I going to make next? So it was really something I really enjoyed doing.
So when you started, sort of say after a few weeks, how many people were you interacting with? How many hits were you getting at the beginning?
So So the first few weeks, it was just my friends, because I would tell them, hey, I have a food blog. There's probably 3-4 recipes on the site. So there wasn't really much. So I knew that if I wanted to, you know, I needed to have more recipes. So it was probably a few months into it that I think I got stumbled upon, which is, I don't know if it's popular anymore, but at the time, if somebody stumbled you, you can get like 7,000 hits in a day. And I remember that day I got stumbled. I was like, wow, I got so much traffic today. Like, what happened? So then it started becoming like this fun game. Like, how can I get stumbled again? And that's basically, I think, the first time I remember getting a lot of traffic. So it started, you know, small. I mean, it was.
And how much traffic do you have today?
Today I have, I get about 12 million page views per month.
That is incredible.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So you said you had a career before this.
Yes.
It takes a lot of confidence to publicly start cooking and sharing recipes. Did you have any kind of food background?
Well, no. I mean, aside from, I'm a home cook and I learned from my parents. I've always loved cooking, so I've always, you know, taken cooking classes, but never professionally. I guess because I've never tried to be something other than I am. I am a home cook that shares recipes that my family enjoys. And I think there's a lot of people out there that can relate to, you know, what I do. And I don't use complicated techniques. The recipes are all made with ingredients that anyone can find. And it's just very relatable to most home cooks.
What made you decide to do a book? And how long after the blog really started to hit did you decide to do a book?
So I quit my job 3 years later, and I was getting requests constantly for a book from fans. So this is something that I knew every day. I would get an email, I'd get something on social media asking me for a book. So I knew, all right, I have to do this. I need to do a book. And I didn't really know where to start. And my friend Heather had mentioned that she used her agent, Janice Denaud. Mm-hmm. And she, you know, mentioned her to me, and I met up with her and signed on with her. And, you know, that's really how it started. It was just people wanted the book, and I said, all right, let's do this. And, you know, it's been a really fun process.
Well, and a pretty successful process, too. So has the success of the books and the blog sort of changed things for you at all? And also, has it changed the food that you make?
It's changed things in the sense that I'm definitely a lot busier than I doing a book and a blog at the same time, because I maintain my blog while I do my books. You know, it's just double the work. So busier. And does it change? It hasn't really changed how I cook. I've always cooked recipes that inspired me, whether it was a meal out or, you know, something that just, whatever's in season. So I think I'm still consistently doing what I did. I'm just constantly getting inspired by, you know, traveling and eating out in a great restaurant.
So how often do you blog?
So I post about 3 times a week.
And do you ever get, I always wonder about this, do you ever get writer's block or cooking block?
Well, I don't get, I always have ideas because I'm always thinking about food. And a lot of times I could be not thinking about, like, if I'm not working, usually is when I come up with my best ideas. So whenever I'm out and about and I'm thinking about these different food ideas, I write them down on my phone. So I have tons of ideas, but do they always work? That's a different story. So I could have my, you know, weeks where I test my ideas and in theory they sound great, but actually in my kitchen they're not so wonderful. So I don't have writer's block in that sense of coming up with ideas. I have tons of ideas. They just don't always work.
And how, I'm sorry, this is an unintentional pun, but you do seem to feed off your audience.
I do.
So how does that interaction work actually? Do they suggest recipes? Do they send you things and you figure out where to go from there? Or do you suggest things to them and they respond? How does that work?
Well, I mean, most of my recipes are just my ideas, but a lot of times I get requests. And some of my most popular recipes happen to be recipes that people requested. So they want a lightened up, you know, chicken marsala, or they want a fettuccine Alfredo, which I actually put in my first book. I kept getting that request over and over. Can you make me a fettuccine Alfredo that's lighter? So those recipes actually, you know, they make me challenge myself and, you know, really figure out, all right, how am I going to do this? So, yeah. And I love, you know, I'm a people pleaser. So I love coming up with recipes when people ask me for, you know, when they give me ideas, I love, you know, giving them that.
So when that happens, let's take the fettuccine Alfredo, for instance. So what's your thought process? Someone says, okay, I want a lighter and healthier fettuccine Alfredo. What goes through your mind?
Well, I say, okay, it's all butter and carbs. So how am I going to make this healthier? And then I'll figure out, well, I definitely need to add some lean protein to it and some vegetables to bulk up the dish. So it's going to be a nice portion with, you know, maybe less pasta. And how am I going to make this taste good without all the butter? So then I'll start playing around and using really good quality cheese. And, you know, just test it until it tastes great. And that recipe came out wonderful. And, you know, you don't miss the butter at all. So, I mean, there's a little butter, but it's not, you know, like your typical fettuccine Alfredo.
And when you're creating an original recipe, it's the same thought process. You've tasted something in a restaurant, you want to recreate it. You know, is that how it works? Or you suddenly go, oh, I wish such a dish existed. And you create it from whole cloth.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little combination of both. Usually, if I'm out at a restaurant, when I go out to eat, I usually order something that is not healthy or it may not be light. So I'll just order, you know, I do practice at 80-20 where I cook home 80% of the time, I eat healthy. On the weekend, I'll go out to eat and I'll indulge. And those are the recipes that actually I want to make lighter. So I love trying a recipe and then I'll say, that was really good. How can I make that lighter? Or how can I recreate that dish? Or how can I make it, you know, how can I make this so that everyone can make it and make it simple? So that's usually my process. Or I'll just come up with like really creative ideas that, you know, are not your normal recipe that, you know, just I'll come up with crazy ideas and they don't always work, but, you know, I play around with it and, you know, it's always different.
So let's talk about the books for a minute too, because the cookbooks are great cookbooks. I have to say, I have cooked from both of them.
Thank you.
So was the first one just a natural extension of the blog and what your audience seemed to want?
Yes. So my first book, I put 25 fan favorites from my website, the most popular, and the rest were recipes very similar to my website, taking comfort food dishes and making them lighter, like the fettuccine Alfredo and the shrimp and grits. And, you know, just all the things that people want to eat only without, you know, without all the calories.
And then how about the second book, Skinny Taste Fast and Slow?
Yeah. So from my second book, I kept hearing people tell me, you know, I want to cook healthy. I want to cook at home, but I don't have the time. I work full time. I kept hearing this over and over, even on, if I was doing book signings, a lot of people said, well, are they fast? I don't have time to cook. So I said, wow. I said, I keep hearing this over and over. I think I need to come up with a book that solves the solution for people that have no time, which is a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So I came up with the concept fast and slow. So using the slow cooker, which is a great, you know, a great appliance for people that have no time. You put everything in the slow cooker and you come home and dinner's ready. So 60 recipes are in the slow cooker and the rest are 30 minutes or less. So really fast, quick, you know, recipes to whip up.
It's so clever, I have to say. I'm admirable.
Thank
that you.
You could.
Well, it's also just so interesting that you're so interactive with your audience that in a way, even the idea for your second book came from what people actually need rather than from what you just want to do.
Yeah. I
think it seems like they're connected.
They really are, but I agree. I mean, I feel like I know my audience. I know what people like. I can tell just by how many people, if I share something on social media, how they react to it. And, you know, something that I may love may not get as big of a reaction. So it's interesting how I will automatically know what's going to be popular just based on them, on the comments, on, you know, what they're making.
So going back to the beginning a little bit, the beginning of your success, how did your family respond to, in essence, being your guinea pigs?
Oh, they loved it. I mean, they had no choice because that was my dinner. So they didn't really have much of a choice. The only thing is, at the time, I worked full time, so I'd come home from work and I'd have to, you know, photograph my dinner right before we ate it. So they'd have to sit and wait for me to take a picture before we actually ate. So things kind of got a little cold, but they never really complained about it. It was like this fun thing that we were just doing. And, you know, it was, they were just, you know, very supportive.
And now I guess it's a little easier for them and for you.
Yeah, because now I cook during the day when I know I'm going to make something that I'm going to photograph, just because the light's better and I'm here. So why not? I plan it better. And then for dinner, like right now, I'm also working on a third book. So that I know I'm not going to photograph, so I can test that at night and it doesn't, you know, I'm not going to photograph it. So the light's not an issue. So I could have that for dinner. Or a lot of times we eat up whatever I'm making at in the afternoon for dinner. So yeah, it works.
I think there are a lot of people who would like to be in your family. can you reveal what the third book is, or it's secretive still?
Not really. Well, we don't have a name yet. I could just say that everything is going to be made in one pot. I'm going to have different chapters, one in a slow cooker, one in a pressure cooker. The Instant Pot is so popular right now. I use my Instant Pot all the time, which is an electric pressure cooker. I love sheet pan dinners, so I'm going to have a whole chapter on that, and so on. So, again, keeping it really simple, easy meals for, you know, weeknights with less mess, so less cleanup, because I love cooking, but I hate doing dishes.
Yeah, well, you definitely have tapped into the zeitgeist of the cooking world in your audience, and it's pretty admirable.
Thank you.
So, thank you. That was just great. You are not just talented, but you are a delight to talk to.
Oh, thank you, Peter.
And I'm so glad we got to do this. And I wish you nothing but success, although I don't think you need my wishes at this point.
I'll take your wishes. Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much. So this is my last episode guest hosting The Clever Cookster. And I'd like to thank host Carol Roda and the Quick and Dirty Tips Podcast Network for having me. If you've enjoyed the series, or in fact, even if you haven't, feel free to pick up a copy of my new book, My Mother's Kitchen, Breakfast, Lunch, Dinner, and the Meaning of Life, at any book retailer. And thanks for listening.